Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is a ney? Dorit Kleber is a German ethnomusicologist from Berlin, where she studied musicology, ethnomusicology, and Turkology. She conducted fieldwork in Turkey, Greece, Italy, and in the wider Balkan area. She's published numerous articles and participated in many symposiums in these areas, and has also taught at the Faculty of Music, University of the Arts, Berlin. It's estimated that there are at least 4 million Turkish immigrants, or people of partial Turkish descent in Germany, making up about 5% of the population. And Dr. Kleber has also done extensive work with this community in both research and education.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Could you tell us a little bit about your own background, where you're from, and what you studied?
First of all, thank you, Linda, for making an interview with me and for showing your interest in my work. I'm born in Berlin, and I studied first music, vocal. I used to be a vocal singer, and then I decided to study musicology also. I'm from a musical family in fourth generation. I have two opera singers. My aunts were two opera singers, and I had one uncle who was playing oboe, and my father played many, many instruments, and he used to make swing music during the Second World War, and at the end, the Gestapo found it out that he was playing American music, and so he was forbidden to perform it. And so he was on stage almost 60 years, and I was brought up behind the stage and so on. So I know many, many of these popular songs, but I always was interested in making music and doing music and occupying myself with music and doing music research. So I was teaching music and I was making research, and I found the topic of Turkish music when I started at the Free University to study musicology. And we had a professor, and his research area was Turkey, and he took us students several times on excursion to Turkey. And so I saw this land, and I heard this music, and I thought, wow, this is a music you have never heard before. Of course, I knew all the Occidental, Western art music, but this was really a very different topic than I have studied before. And I thought I should do more in detail.
So you were really very lucky to have a teacher who taught that. Was it unusual for Turkish music to be taught at the time?
Of course, he was the first one in Germany who did research on Turkish music, and he started to go on research trips in 1955, and then he went on until his death. Unfortunately, he died a little bit early, but his wife went on. He lived longer, 30 years longer than her husband did, and she went on with the study, and also we became friends, and we made many things also together.
So once you became interested in Turkish music, what have you done with it?
The first time we went in the countryside to record folk music on weddings, folk dance, folk musicians, and also these minstrel singers accompanying themselves with the long-neck lute Balama, and they used to sing epic songs, and also from the Alevi, that is an Muslim affiliation among the Shiites. Yeah, we have these big two affiliations among the Muslims. They are mostly are the Sunnis, about 90% are Sunnis, and the others are Shiites. And the Alevi in Turkey, the Shiites are called Alevi. So I got acquainted with folk music and with religious music and also with the dervish music, like the Mevlevi.
Do you have any interesting anecdotes about your studying this kind of music?
I don't know if you should call it an anecdote, but it's real that I also wanted to learn instruments of the music which I am going to do research on. And it happened that when we made recordings of the Mevlevi, the whirling dervishes in Konya, that one of the famous ney player of this ensemble, Akka Gündüz Kutbay, came after the concert to me and brought his ney to me. And this meant, I knew it later, was that he was initiating me as his student.
And what is a ney?
The ney is a reed flute out of a cane, and especially a holy instrument for the Mevlevi, but also played in other countries like in Persia and Northern Africa and so on.
So it was a great honor that he offered this to you. What happened next? What did you do?
It was really a very great honor, which I did not recognize that. I was so perplexed. But the next year, I got a grant and I lived for 2 months in Istanbul, and of course I went to him very often, not to him at home, because it was not allowed for a woman to go to a man at home, but we met at the radio broadcasting station, and always together with another very famous ney player. Also this was not allowed, that I spent in one room a special time. So Ulvi Ergoner was the other famous ney player, and they both together gave me lessons.
So you learned how to play the ney.
That's right. We made also recordings of the Mevlevi ceremonies. And later on, I got also interested in the Ottoman Turkish art music, which had been performed at the Ottoman court from, let's say, 17th century on. And there I specialized. I mostly was interested in vocal forms because I'm a singer. And also, I performed on stage, and also I wrote my first exam on Paul Hindemith and one of his vocal compositions.
So you're really a pioneer in a sense here in Germany with this kind of music. Have you been able to teach it to other people? Has there been an interest in it here?
There has been an interest because we had the so-called guest workers. They came to Germany from about the 1960s. I mean, the 1950s, they came already from Italy, Spain, and so on. But from the 1960s, also they came from Turkey. And from the 1970s, they were allowed to bring their families from Turkey to Germany. And all of a sudden, we had in Berlin many, many Turkish children. So what to do with these children? They were educated in ordinary schools, and they had teachers, Turkish teachers sometimes, who were educated in Turkey, and now they were educating the pupils here, but they spoke all together Turkish. And the government did not want to go on with this, and so they started a model experiment to teach the Turkish teachers how to teach in German language. And I was the expert to show them how to teach music in Germany. Of course, the government did not want me to teach them Turkish music. Of course, they did not know much about their own music, but I was forbidden to teach them Turkish music. I was not allowed, and I was called the Türkenmusikerin, what is really not a nice name.
So you were not able to teach them their own music?
No, but I did it in a way, in a hidden way, or still I did it. But I tried to combine. I tried to show examples, took it from the Turkish music and then transferred it, like, for instance, a quarter tone you have in the Turkish music and you also have in the Western music. So I made a little list with the names in Turkish and in German. And I also brought out my first publication. It was in both languages, in German and in Turkish, about Turkish folk music. I have chosen about 20 Turkish folk songs, which were very famous all over Turkey, not only in several regions, but over regional. And I worked together, of course, with Turkish musicians and Turkish teachers, and we translated the Turkish texts into lyrics into German. And it was I thought it would be interesting for those teachers, music teachers, German music teachers, who now have Turkish students or pupils in their classrooms. But later on, it came out that the Turkish teachers who also lived in Berlin, they did not have such a publication in their own land, and so they used my publication also in their classrooms.
When was this?
This was in the beginning of the 80s, 1980s.
Now, there are a lot of Turkish immigrants, as you mentioned, in Germany and I guess in Berlin. Have you worked at all with them? Have you, as a musicologist, have you done any kind of, I guess you would call it, field work with them, collecting things?
Of course. I was always both. I regarded myself to be both a music teacher and as a musicologist, so I did both. I always did also field research. I recorded what I did at school, and I recorded also these Turkish music teachers, which I educated about this model experiment for 10 years. Every 2 years I had a new group, so I had also a big variety of several music teachers, and I know what they have learned in Turkey and what they could apply here in Germany.
The Turkish immigrants who you worked with here, are they from different regions, and were you able to, let's say, compare the information that you've gotten from them with information that you actually got directly in Turkey? Was there any kind of a difference?
Yes and no. Of course, we had Turkish guest workers from all over Turkey, but mostly they said they come from Istanbul or Ankara because they did not want to tell from which real region they really were. They pretended to be from the big towns. But when they got familiar with me, and this was very important to build up a sort of confidence, and when there was like we are talking on the same level, they opened themselves and they told me many, many stories.
Are you still doing this kind of work?
No, unfortunately, I do not this kind of work. Afterwards, I did other kinds of work, like to teach students who are going to teach music, and of course, they will also have Turkish pupils in their classroom.
Now, you're also the chair of the Germany National Committee of the International Council for Traditional Music, which belongs, I guess, to the UNESCO. It's an NGO. Could you tell us a little bit about what they do and what you do?
Yeah, this is quite another branch of my work. I am now, since 2008, the chair, and the former president, she arranged that from 1992 on, so after the reunification of the two Germanies, we also had reunification of two ICTM national committees for the former East Germany and the former West Germany. And the former president, Marianne Bröcker, she had arranged every year a symposium for all the ethnomusicologists of Germany. And also musicologists came, of course. And so in different universities, we still, from that time, come together every year to hold a symposium. And about between 15 and 20 ethnomusicologists are giving papers, and we are publishing these in a book every year.
Is there anything special that you're working on now, aside from the teaching?
I always worked on my special field, that is the historical Ottoman Turkish art music. And I never stopped it. Of course, when I worked at school, when I worked with teachers, so on, little by little, I went on with this research, and I built up like a real huge archive, because I always documented it and recorded it. And now, of course, I brought a part of it already in my dissertation, but now I will bring out the next book, is on one special vocal form and on one special composer. And I think this has never been done yet. I spoke of my dissertation, but I did not mention the title. The title is Music Cultures of Turkey and among the Turkish Communities in Germany. And until now, I could not find a publishing house or something who is interested in this topic, but I think in our time it should be very interesting to publish it, also to bring it to a broader public, that they could read what is going on also in Germany and also where are the roots coming from.
So it has been written in German and you
right.
would need someone to translate it right. and publish right. it in English.
Right. That's right. I think it could be of interest.
Okay, so if any of our listeners are interested, we will include a link. Do you have any other plans for the future?
I have always plans for the future. Too many, because always it depends of the time and also of the money situation to realize it. What I want to combine is the musicology and the ethnomusicology, like the music of the 17th century performed in Occidental areas like Italy perhaps and in Ottoman Turkey.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
So what I want to add is that among the German Turkish musicians, they are called German Turkish before they had other names, not always nice names, but those who originally immigrated from Turkey. Among those musicians, there were events and also to come together with musicians of other minorities living in Berlin. So they organized concerts, let's say, with people from Greece. And also once there was a concert at the Jewish community in Berlin, where they played together with Sephardic musicians, but those Sephardic musicians came from Turkey.
When are you talking about?
It was about 2000, so right after the millennium turn it happened. And also this musician I'm speaking of, unfortunately he died some years ago. He was a very excellent oud player, so short neck lute player, and he founded sort of music conservatory in Berlin at the end of the 1990s. And he had students to learn Turkish folk music, but also to learn Turkish art music from the Ottoman time. And I went about for 3 years to hospitieren, to take part of the lessons he gave, especially in Turkish art music.
What was his name?
Nuri Karademirli. And he also worked together with a Jewish musician. He played, like trumpet or something like this, Brody, Paul Brody. Brody was a town, or is a town now in Poland. And they gave also concerts in Berlin, but also outside of Berlin. We have this town, Potsdam, where former Prussian kings had their castles. And also I made recordings there. Now, what else? What I wanted to say that in Turkey, then my interest was awoken to research also a little bit of the Sephardic music, or the music which the Sephardi are practicing in Turkey, but not the Sephardi music, but these types where they have interactions with the Turkish music. And I think there should be done more research, because I think the music the Sephardi are doing themselves is investigated. I know several scholars who are doing it and still are doing it, but I think this mixture and these interactions are not real investigated yet. I would like to add that I also looked on other minorities living in Turkey. This also has not been done yet, and this would also be a very great challenge. Like these Sephardim who came from, were expelled from Spain and from 1492 on, and some of them came to live in the Ottoman Empire, and they still live there and they still are singing and making music. And this, of course, they bring out some CDs, but I think it is not really researched enough. More research should be done on these minority and on the influences and interactions between the majority society.
Have you done any of that yet, or is this sort of a future idea?
I did, but not enough. I did a little bit, because when I listened to CDs brought out by Sephardic ensembles, also on the Balkans, I could recognize Turkish folk melody tunes, but of course with a text in Ladino, and also it is not like the song from the Karadeniz or from the Black Sea coast in the Balkans. The text was made for a wedding.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.